Raw footage coming out of the cinema and into your ears.
35mm. Analog world. 35mm.
Welcome to Raw Footage, episode number 21. After a long haul, this is the final one of my regular episodes, which deals with Oscar potential films. At time of recording, the Oscars are 2 weeks away, and I have managed to watch all the films that were getting some Oscar buzz. The final two of the Oscar buzz films that I'll be reviewing in the main podcast are in this episode. Neither of them actually got any Oscar nominations, but maybe should have. So let's have the first of today's reviews.
Sugar, you light my fire. Now let's get started.
The first of today's films is the latest by Roman Polanski. It's Carnage, which is based on a very successful play and is pretty much a four-hander. Before I play the trailer, I probably should mention that occasionally the way I do this podcast, you know, recording outside as soon as I've come out of the cinema, it does create some unusual background noise. In this particular case, I was recording in Kingsmead Square in Bath, which is fairly central and fairly busy, and at a cafe across the road from me there was a group of people, and one of them was teasing his dog, you know, sort of playing with it, but it did mean that the dog was yelping through pretty much the whole of this review. So that rather high-pitched squeaky noise you can hear in the background of the review is a very overexcited dog, and there was pretty much nothing I could do to take it out of the audio, which was very annoying. So with that caveat out of the way about the actual review, let's hear the trailer for Carnage.
Following a verbal dispute in Brooklyn Bridge Park, Zachary Cowan, armed with a stick, struck our son, Ethan Longstreet, in the face.
Armed?
Michael, what else could we say? Carrying a stick, all right?
Carrying, yeah.
Carrying a stick.
Thank you so much for coming.
Well, we thank you.
I don't think there's any reason for us to thank each other. Luckily, some of us still have a sense of community.
You know, we forgot to ask you guys. You want some coffee or tea?
They're nice, right?
Nice couple.
Very.
Do you know what they were arguing about?
Ethan wouldn't let Zachary be a part of his gang.
Did you know that Ethan had a gang?
No, but I'm thrilled to hear it.
Excuse me. Yeah, Walter.
But he realizes that he disfigured his schoolmate.
My son did not disfigure your son.
Your son disfigured our son.
What does he call her again?
Doodle.
Yeah, right. Doodle.
Doodle.
Yeah, I call her Doodle.
Your son is a maniac.
Zachary is not a maniac.
Yes, he is.
Why are you saying that?
He's a maniac. I'm sorry.
Enough, Al. Enough with the cell phone already. The here and now, goddammit.
What the hell are we doing here?
I hope you're kidding.
The victim and the criminal are not the same.
You think my son is a snitch?
I don't think anything.
Well, if you don't think anything, don't say anything.
I believe in the god of carnage.
I'm sick to death of it. We were nice to you. We bought tulips. You know, my wife dressed me up as a liberal.
Alan, do something!
Alan, do something!
Oh, shut your mouth!
Nancy, what are you?
There.
Huh. Oh, my God.
Way to go! This is what I think, Michael.
I think I'm gonna vomit again.
Freaking nightmare.
Why are we still in this house?
So we're in the final stretch of the Oscar potential films. And you now find me sitting in Kingsley Square, where I've just come out of the first of three films for today. About to head over to Bristol to watch another couple of films that were getting Oscar buzz. And the first film of the day was Carnage, directed by Roman Polanski and based on the successful play The God of Carnage, written by the French playwright Yasmina Reza, who also adapted the screenplay along with Roman Polanski. And this is basically a four-hand play starring Jodie Foster, John C. Reilly, Kate Winslet and Christoph Waltz as two couples who meet up because their sons have been involved in a dispute in which one of them gets hit in the face with a stick and loses some teeth. So the parents meet up and decide what's to be done about this situation. And it's kind of cool, actually. I mean, like I said, it's based on a play, and when you are adapting a play, you have basically two options. Either you pretty much film the play as it appears on stage, or you expand it out, create a wider world, and have lots of locations and extras and all that other kind of stuff that you just can't do in the theatre. Well, what Polanski has done in the case of Carnage is he used the first option. He basically filmed the play. It's entirely set in this one apartment in New York and the corridor outside it. I mean, it's topped and tailed by very brief non-dialogue scenes outside with the two boys and the incident that sparks off this thing, and then it's a little bit at the end as well. But other than that, it's just in this apartment and the corridor outside the apartment. So it's very contained, it's very stagey almost, but that's not to say it's not being shot interestingly. I mean, I think Roman Polanski can't direct a bad film. He's a director with a strong visual style, and this comes forward. I mean, there are sort of long continuous shots of just the people sitting around talking, but that doesn't mean that he's boring. I mean, occasionally he goes handheld camera when it's necessary. Occasionally he uses interesting framing. I mean, there's one scene which sticks in my mind where what we're focused on is John C. Reilly, but just in the foreground we see Kate Winslet's hand on the edge of the sofa. I mean, so even though John C. Reilly is what we're focused on and what the dialogue is, we still know that there's, you know, people listening, we understand the geography of the scene and where people are and what they're doing and how they're interacting with each other. But this is very much a dialogue film. It's very much a film which embraces the theatrical nature of it. I mean, everybody starts out sort of trying to be very conciliatory to each other, trying to sort of say, yes, let's be civil about this, let's be grown up. But as this day goes on, and through various means, these people are just stuck in this room together, gradually the veneer of respectability and civility starts to diminish, and very quickly, well, relatively quickly, these people are just at each other's throats, and we start getting a lot of almost philosophy, you know, all about, you know, how the individual is in some cases more important than the collective, and how the veneer of civilization is just that, it's a veneer. We are still cavemen, we are still, you know, believers in the god of carnage, the philosophy that might equals right. And there's also quite a bit about the battle of the sexes as well. I mean, it's how men and women see the world and how they interact with the world and each other. I mean, at various points, you've got sort of like the two couples, Jodie Foster and John C. Reilly on one hand, and Kate Winslet and Christopher Waltz on the other. But on other times, we have the women on one side and the men on the other. And they flip back and forward as the ideas of the film and the play start coming through. It's a very good script and does make you think. I mean, I'm not sure how the play is. I mean, I've never seen the play. I'm not a theatre person. But I'd be interested to know how the play ends, because the film has one of those endings which is very abrupt, but it's also a perfect note to end the film on. I mean, it's all like, your first thought is, really, that's it? But then very quickly afterwards you think, no, but actually that's perfect, that's how it should have ended. And some of it is very, very funny as well, including the very, very final scene, which I won't spoil, but it does call back into something which has been a recurring theme of the film, and how this whole segment of the film talking about humanity's animal nature came up. So yeah, this is a really good film. I love the script. I don't think it got nominated, I'll have to check that. But I think it should have got nominated as Best Adapted Screenplay. And as far as the acting performances go, they're all really good. But there's no individual that really stands out. I mean, maybe Jodie Foster. But I think this is definitely an ensemble piece. And I think it's the Screen Actors Guild which has a specific award for an ensemble. And I think that's where Carnage's cast really should have got some love. And again, I'll have to check when I get home and see if they did get nominated or if they even won. But either way, it's a really good film if you can accept the fact that it's basically four people in a room talking to each other. Fact check time. The Screen Actors Guild Awards does have an award for an ensemble cast, and Carnage wasn't nominated. That award was actually won by The Help, which I honestly have no issue with. I think that was a worthy winner of an award for an ensemble cast. But the fact that Carnage wasn't even nominated does annoy me a little, because I think it was worthy. And it's a similar thing to the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. Yasmina Reiser and Roman Polanski weren't nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, but all of the films and scripts that were nominated are worthy. It's just, I would have preferred Carnage get some recognition, because I really did like this film, and it's the kind of film that would benefit greatly from having some nominations to back it up.
I'm feeling adventurous tonight. Let's take things a little further, shall we?
The last film in my series of Oscar potential reviews is A Dangerous Method, telling the story of the relationship between Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud at the start of psychoanalysis, and directed by David Cronenberg, the former enfant terrible of cinema, who is probably still best known for directing Scanners, Videodrome, and the Jeff Goldblum version of The Fly. He's most known for exploring body horror and themes like that. But you can't carry on doing that forever, or at least most people can't. So he has grown up over the years, and his recent films have been much more understated. He recently directed Eastern Promises and A History of Violence. So it's a very interesting career progression for David Cronenberg, and A Dangerous Method is the latest stop on that journey. I'm going to play the trailer for this film, and I'm also going to embed it on my website, raw-footage.co.uk. as I always do. But I am playing and embedding the UK trailer of A Dangerous Method. In the trailer, there are brief moments of a sex scene between Michael Fassbender and Keira Knightley, and also a brief scene of Keira Knightley being spanked by Michael Fassbender. And these scenes were not in the US trailer. The trailers in the US and the UK were identical, apart from these two brief scenes being taken out. And I think that says an awful lot about what distributors think is acceptable to American audiences. But I think that's another debate for another day. So when I talk about sex and spanking in the trailer in my review, I'm talking about the UK trailer rather than the US one. And it's the UK trailer I'm going to play now.
Sex.
Male.
Family.
Child.
Divorce.
No.
Professor Freud.
I'm Dr. Jung.
I've simply opened a door. It's for the young men like yourself to walk through it.
Perhaps she's the one for your experimental treatment.
Tell me about the first time you can remember being beaten by your father.
It excited me!
And how is your little Russian patient?
There was the most dramatic improvement.
Is she a virgin?
Almost certainly.
If you ever want to take the initiative, I live in that building there.
Why should we put so much effort into suppressing our most basic natural instincts? Never repress anything.
I want you to punish me.
There's a
rumor you've taken one of your patients as a mistress.
Surely you didn't think I'd let you go without putting up a fight.
Don't you think we ought to stop?
Do you want to stop?
You still love him.
Will you come back to us now?
Sometimes you have to do something unforgivable just to be able to go on living.
So it's been quite a slog, but you now find me at the end of my Oscar build-up. I've just seen the last of the Oscar potential films for this year. It kind of feels a bit strange. I mean, this has been part of my cinema going habits for the last sort of 3 months, but now it's at an end, and as soon as I get home I can start planning my Oscar preview show in earnest. I'm in the harbourside area of Bristol, across the river from the Watershed cinema, where I've just come out of the last film on my list, A Dangerous Method, directed by David Cronenberg, and telling the story of the early days of psychoanalysis through the relationship between Sigmund Freud, played by Viggo Mortensen, Carl Jung, played by Michael Fassbender, and Jung's mistress and patient, Sabina Spielrein, played by Keira Knightley. I think that Freud and Jung are definitely people you can say shaped the modern world. I think the present history can be split into the pre-psychoanalysis world and the post-psychoanalysis world. Freud's theories in particular, and developed some by Jung, really has changed the way that humans see themselves and the world around them. So this could be, or should be, a fascinating story. You know, saying, you know, the white hot cauldron of ideas that there was in Central Europe in the early part of the 20th century and the late part of the 19th century. This is a period of history which did change the way people saw each other and themselves. The problem is that this is kind of a similar experience for me to when I saw W.E. In W.E.'s case, there is a good film to be made out of the relationship between Wallace Simpson and Prince Edward, but W.E. wasn't it. And there is a good film to be made out of the relationship between Jung and Freud, but A Dangerous Method isn't it. It seems much, much more concerned with this affair between Sabina Spielrein and Carl Jung, which is interesting and demonstrates the characteristics of the people involved. But in my mind, the film spends far too much time on this relationship and on the consequences of that relationship, rather than what I think would be the more interesting thing, which is the start of psychoanalysis and the battles that had to be fought by Freud and Jung to make psychoanalysis respectable and respected. When the film spends so much time on this relationship, it kind of loses its interest, because frankly it's not that interesting a relationship. I mean, it's a standard affair where the man feels guilty about cheating on his wife and the wanton woman doesn't really give a shit and sort of throws herself into this affair with gusto. I mean, it's a story we've seen before, and there's not much more to it than that. I mean, obviously you've got the patient-doctor relationship, but even that isn't fully addressed for my money. And this is not to say that it's full of sex and spanking. I mean, if you've seen the trailer, then that could well be the impression you get. I mean, I wouldn't particularly like the film, but I would have respected it if it had gone that route. I mean, the David Cronenberg of 30 years ago probably would have filled this film with sex and spanking. But people grow up, and Cronenberg has definitely grown up. So there's not actually that much sex and spanking in this film, and pretty much every scene of sex or spanking is in the trailer. So if you go into this film expecting that, then you will be disappointed. But if you go into this film expecting to see sex and spanking, then there's probably something wrong with you, which I guess builds into the whole theme of psychoanalysis, maybe. It's well acted. I mean, it's okay. Michael Fassbender plays Jung as a very repressed, very priggish persona who is almost more concerned with how the world perceives him than helping his patients. And it's an interesting way to go. This guilt he feels at having this affair and being bewitched by this woman is well portrayed, but like I said, it's the kind of thing I've seen in many other films before. Keira Knightley's performance as Sabina Spielrein is something of an issue. The first 10 minutes of this film, she is completely over the top. She is like a mental patient in Bedlam. I mean, she's clawing, screaming, sticking her jaw out, which was odd, but I suppose justified by research. I mean, I guess it's justified by research. But she is sort of like the stereotypical, almost clownish idea of what a mental patient should be and would be. I mean, and for all I know, that is the way that Sabina Spielrein was when Jung first met her. But in the context of this film, I don't think it actually works. Because for this 10 minutes, this character is completely off the wall, completely over the top, when everybody else around her and everybody throughout the rest of the film is very understated and very analytical. I mean, this is about psychoanalysis. So I'm conflicted about Keira Knightley's performance, because I do think it's good, but for this first 10 minutes, she's very over the top. But it's possible that because she is so over the top, it does sort of demonstrate just how effective Jung's talking cure was. So I'm conflicted, but it does seem a little bit like the first 10 minutes of Keira Knightley's performance is out of a completely different film. For my money, the best acting performance in this film is Viggo Mortensen as Freud. He plays Freud as a very laconic, very self-assured person who is completely convinced not only of the correctness of his own theories, but also of his place in history. And he's also got elements of steely determination to make sure that psychoanalysis is taken seriously. But like I said earlier, there's not enough of that. And there's also flashes of utter jealousy because he is not nearly as rich as Jung was. So Viggo Mortensen puts all this together into this performance, and I think is very, very good. I did really like Viggo Mortensen's performance, and he probably should have got considered for Best Supporting Actor, but going through it in my mind, I think he'll probably come up a bit short on my personal list, but it's still a very, very good performance. Overall, I think this is a frustrating film. It's well made, but the script isn't especially good. It does kind of go through A to B to C with not much difference from what you expect. And the performances are all good, but this should have been a different film. Personally, and I think for a lot of people, I would have much preferred a film about the battle to get psychoanalysis taken seriously, rather than this fairly mundane story about a doctor cheating on his wife with a patient. And I think that is what the core of this film is about. So it's okay, but I think they made the wrong film. I've done the preliminary list of my personal Oscar nominations, and as I suspected, Viggo Mortensen didn't quite make it as Best Supporting Actor, but he was in serious consideration. His performance is by far the best thing in the film, and there is quite a subtle indication as to his character in the film. Portraying the person who invented the concept of phallic imagery, it is very noticeable that in virtually every scene that Sigmund Freud is in, he is smoking a massive cigar. From memory, there is only one scene in the entire film which Freud appears in which he is not smoking a cigar. I'm sure that is based somewhat on the real Sigmund Freud, but it was noticeable, and it was a nice touch that David Cronenberg put into this film. The more I think about it, the more the comparison between A Dangerous Method and W.E. seems appropriate. In both cases, you have a potentially fascinating story of a historical relationship. But the films both focus on completely the wrong thing and bypass what for a lot of people would be the most interesting aspects of the film, you know, the core relationship. In W.E., you've got the completely unnecessary story in New York in 1998. And in A Dangerous Method, you've got this relationship between Sabina and Jung, which is important to Freud and Jung's relationship, but not so important that we needed to focus the entire film on it. And unfortunately, I think Cronenberg does focus too much of the film on this relationship, which, at the end of the day, isn't that compelling. I would put A Dangerous Method in the category of a missed opportunity. So this is it. I've completed my mission to watch all of the films which have been getting Oscar buzz. I've cheated in a couple of cases to make sure I released the podcast before the Oscars, but I have watched all the films that were getting Oscar buzz, and as I've just mentioned, I have put together my preliminary list of what I think should have been nominated in the key categories. And for my money, the Oscars got more things wrong than they got right. For the 44 nominations in categories that I'm focusing on, 23 of them, I think the Academy got wrong. I'm rather opinionated about this year's Oscars, and this probably means that my Oscar preview podcast will be of epic length. The Oscar preview show will be the next podcast released in the feeds. I'm also going to have another regular episode probably by the beginning of next week. And I'm still working out the details, but there's a possibility that the next quote-unquote regular episode will be something a little bit different and a little bit special. But that hasn't been worked out yet, so don't hold me to anything unusual happening after the Oscar preview show. And I will also be doing a review of the Oscars once they're announced, and giving my opinions on how wrong they were, probably. Well, almost certainly. So that's another thing to look forward to in the future. So that was Raw Footage. I've been your host, Colin Gaisley from Bath, and I'll see you the next time I come out of the cinema and into your ears. Raw Footage is an Ouroboros podcast production. Homepage can be found at raw-footage.co.uk. Comments and feedback can be sent to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. The intro music to this show is by Oliver Benjamin Thayer. The outro music is by Vicky, both used with permission. Idents provided by Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice of The Inside Outcast. Trailer audio is included under the Doctrine of Fair Use.